Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You. Today, fun facts, difficult derivations, commemorative celebrations.
You know, today is the anniversary of Rasputin's death.
That's not true.
It is true.
It is true, really?
It is true.
I can't
believe they finally kill him?
It's true.
He does. There will be moments of linguistic clarification, definitive definitions for terms like chutzpah.
If you tell a lady with a Pekingese you want to borrow the Pekingese to pull your tractor out of the mud, when she objects, you say, don't worry, I've got a whip. That's good.
So for the next hour, we invite you, come, play along. There will be thrills, excitement, prizes for all.
10 points for Carolyn's team.
No, Paula's team.
Oh, I'm sorry, 10 points for Paula's team. Well, 10 points for Carolyn's team. Ten points for everybody.
Right.
Says you next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Democratic Senator Charles Schumer of New York says he expects lawmakers will, in the end, come together to avert the across-the-board spending cuts due to take effect March 1st.
Whether it's right on the eve of sequestration, or if, God forbid, it has to take effect for a few days, the devastating effects will be so strong. The president will be out there on his bully pulpit that I believe, just like on the fiscal cliff, Republicans will come on board. They have no choice.
Schumer speaking there on CNN's State of the Union this morning. The Obama administration is sounding the warning bell about the potential cuts, as NPR's Brian Naylor reports.
The cuts will mean federal spending will be reduced by $85 billion between March 1st and the end of September. HUD Secretary Sean Donovan says it will mean a 5% reduction in funding for recovery from Superstorm Sandy, and that some 100,000 homeless or formerly homeless, including veterans, would be removed from their current housing and shelters. The government also says because USDA food inspectors face layoffs, some meat processing plants won't be able to open, leading to higher food prices. Senate Democrats have proposed avoiding the sequester by spreading the cuts out and raising some taxes, but Republicans say that idea is a non-starter. Brian Naylor, NPR News, Washington.
Afghan President Hamid Karzai is issuing a set of decrees designed to prevent torture in Afghan detention facilities. NPR's Sean Carberry reports that one of the first orders is to prosecute security officials who engage in torture.
The decrees come in response to a January United Nations report that found evidence of widespread torture and abuse in Afghan detention facilities. After initially denouncing the report, the Afghan government conducted its own investigation and confirmed high levels of abuse, especially during initial interrogations. Speaking in Kabul on Saturday, Karzai said he's been working for Afghan human rights for the last decade, and it's shameful that Afghans are violating the rights they have been fighting for. Other measures ordered by Karzai include installing video cameras in interrogation rooms and producing quarterly monitoring reports on the progress of anti-torture reforms. Sean Carberry, NPR News, Kabul.
Pope Benedict was cheered today as he offered the traditional Sunday blessing before a larger-than-usual crowd.
Thank you for the prayers and support you have shown me in these days. May God bless all of you.
Pope Benedict speaking there from the window overlooking St. Peter's Square. He thanked the tens of thousands gathered there for their prayers and support since announcing his resignation. He also asked for prayers for the next pope. The Vatican has not announced a start date for the conclave of cardinals who will select Benedict's successor, but a spokesman said this weekend it could start sooner than March 15th, the earliest date it could be launched under current church rules. This is NPR News. A federal agency is predicting oil prices will fall slightly over the next 2 years. NPR's Jeff Brady reports that likely will mean lower gasoline prices for drivers across the country.
The Energy Information Administration projects gasoline prices this year will average $3.55 a gallon. In 2014, the agency believes they will fall to $3.39. If that happens, gasoline will be 24 cents a gallon cheaper in 2014 than it was in 2012. The main reason for falling gasoline prices is lower crude oil prices. Federal energy forecasters believe crude will fall on average over the next 2 years from $112 a barrel last year to $101 next year. Jeff Brady, NPR News.
In the meantime, the average price at the pump is rising. It's up to $3.67 a gallon. Oil analyst Patrick DeHaan at GasBuddy.com says that represents a 12 cent jump just in the last week.
In the last month, obviously a much bigger increase. A month ago, the national average stood at a mere $3.25 a gallon. So what we're seeing is sizable increases across the board in all 50 states.
DeHaan says the increase is surprising for this time of year because demand is normally low. A racing yacht has finished one of the world's most challenging sailing journeys in record time. The yacht named Maserati docked in San Francisco this weekend after what organizers said was the fastest passage of a single-hulled sailing vessel from New York to San Francisco. The journey around Cape Horn took a little more than 47 days, beating the old record by 10 days. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Cancer Treatment Centers of America, proud sponsor of StoryCorps, celebrating American stories and American lives.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Weston, Massachusetts comes from Regis College. Graduate and undergraduate programs in the arts and sciences. On the web at regiscollege.edu.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. From the stage of the Eleanor Welsh Casey Theater on the campus of Regis College in Weston, Massachusetts, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's back in the house. He's pumped and primed. He's the man of your dreams in the flesh, Tony Khan. Hey. Her friends are in the audience. Her daughter home for the holidays. Her entourage guarding the exits. Francine Akbar. And he's back after much too long an absence. But the warrants have finally expired for Mr. Flash Wiley. Who's going to be the captain?
Tony
will be the captain.
The gentleman to your right.
To my left, team two. He's halfway through the Z-Pack and starting to feel his oats. Arnie Raceman. Cheers. She's filled to the gills with vitamin C, so she no longer feels like L. Paula Lyons. And she's been cautioned to mind her P's and Q's, which we think she can handle with ease. Miss Carolyn Fay Fox. This is a sick crowd here today. Who's the captain?
Miss L.
Miss Paula will captain.
Paula will be the captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points, or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners, grab a pen, grab some paper. Let's begin with a round of definitions and derivations. Suggestions come from Tom Wimmer of Seattle, Washington. Thank you, Tom. For 5 points, define, and for an additional five, try to define the origins of the following common words and phrases. Carolyn, chock full.
Chock full.
Chock
full. Absolutely full to bursting.
Yes.
Yes, chock full.
That's 5 points.
Good night.
As in a house chock full of nice furnishings.
Something like that.
Chock full of nuts.
Chock full. Does it come from chock full of nuts?
It does not.
Doesn't come from cotton.
Does chalk? Is chalk the word I should be looking at?
Yes, it is, actually.
All right. Is it chalk as in writing chalk?
No, it is.
Is it chalk as in Middle English chalking? To fill until plump?
I see. It's,
so that's what chalking means. I always wondered.
To stuff chick.
No, yeah. You're...
Stuff a chicken, right.
Yeah. Stuff chicken.
You're very close, actually. I hate to tell you. But it's C-H-O-C-K.
C-K, right.
Full.
Yes.
And you're very close. You want to take one more shot at it?
Is it animal related?
No.
Oh. Okay.
It really
well,
is
how do we get close?
How do we get close?
Is it food related?
In an odd way, but not really.
In an odd way.
How did we ever get close? Is it because you're near us or what?
Yeah. No, because it's about the word itself. It's really about the word.
Chalk. It is a shortened form
of Charles.
Chalkin', lockin', pockin', walkin'.
You know, I think I've heard just about enough over there. I'm going to give you 7 points because you're
closer than you know. Is that anything to do with chuck instead of chalk?
Not chuck so much. Any help over here?
Chunk? Come from the French, choc.
No.
Chunk?
Actually, audience, what do you think?
Wheel
no, it's actually choke.
Choke?
Yes, C-H-O-K-K-E.
Choke. Oh, that explains it.
Full, I see.
Meaning to choke, as in to choke something shut. And that's what chalk comes
And how did
from.
It get to chalk? It's the sound you make when you're choking?
I assume so.
It's like the choke in a car back in the old days when you had to pull several levers to make something
Well,
happen.
This goes back to 16th century England. So
yeah, well, you shouldn't
no car.
You
very
see
early
some of the
car.
Cars I drove.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Try this one, Flash. Definition and derivation of gig.
Gig. Well, let's see. Gig can mean a lot of things. To a musician, a gig means a job. To somebody in the military, a gig means a demerit.
It does, actually. But we're concerned about the musicians and actors here.
Okay, so that would be a job.
It is. Very much is. That's 5 points. Where might this come from?
You know, I noticed how that team kind of begged for some help. So.
You,
I'm going to do the same thing. I'm begging, my brother. Help me out here.
Well, I think you should beg Francine a little bit on this. Maybe Francine.
Francine knows about the word gig.
A French derivation?
Gig. Is it an English word?
It's a dance. The gig.
You know, he's exactly what? Right. 10 points. Very good.
All right. There we go. Hey,
you knew that. You know how you knew that.
Not because I could not foxtrot, but I could jig.
But you could jig, which is actually spelled G-I-G-U-E. Oh. It really comes from post-World War I France, where a G-I-G-U-E, an impromptu ball or dance, would require an impromptu orchestra. And that's where it came from.
Oh, you can dance jig to jig.
Yes, and then it was actually began in America in New Orleans. As you might think, they also had the word. Try this one, Arnie. Definition and derivation of die hard.
Die hard. Let's see. Bruce Willis movies.
Mm-hmm.
Batteries. Batteries for cars.
Yes.
Something that lasts a long time. Something that just keeps on going. You can't kill.
Dyed in the wool. Stubborn.
Won't give up.
Resilient, definitely, but I would also think fierce.
Fierce.
Okay. I'll give you 5 points. That's the definition.
And it doesn't actually mean what it says? Hard to die?
Hard to kill.
In a way it does, but it's a pretty specific origin. And I'll give you some help on that.
Rasputin.
Rasputin. Do you know today is the anniversary of Rasputin's death?
That's not true.
It is true.
It is true, really?
It is true.
I can't
believe they finally kill him?
It's true. And it's normally followed by New Year's Eve. You know.
It is about dying hard, that's for sure.
And is it about the actual event of killing someone?
Yes, it was.
Oh, my goodness.
Is it a way to kill someone?
No. It is not.
It's you mean but it came out of an incident where somebody, they tried to kill someone and it just wasn't successful in the first try?
Well, it wasn't that they tried to kill someone.
Oh.
A lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people.
This was a tough one.
The siege of St. Petersburg.
The Albigensians. How far back are we going?
The Albigensians.
Just, you know, one of those things that
stays in your brain pan long after you ever needed it again. Are those Albigensians?
No, it doesn't go back that far. But
it's the Huns?
The Huns.
Yes, you know, it's Attila. You know, he created the ambush. So
it is not. It doesn't go back quite that far.
All right. Well, it
goes back about 200 years.
Okay, I think we're done over here.
Attila and Albigensians. Wait, I haven't gotten to the bees yet.
Yeah. Well, it was the Battle of Albuera, so...
of course it was!
Right.
Anyone bathroom that
day. That's where the diehards...
All day.
Yeah. That's the one where the diehards met the blowhards.
Well, I think we're done here.
Yeah, I think
you
are.
I think we've beaten this to death.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Anyone in the audience know this?
I would rather it be Rasputin.
No, it is actually the British 57th Foot Regiment.
Of course.
So called after their colonel addressed them before they were going to fight Napoleon's troops. In 1811, he said, "Die hard, my lads, die hard." They fought the battle. Only one officer of 24 survived, including the colonel, meeting his demise, and only 168 out of almost 600 men survived that battle, battle that they won.
A battle that they won? Was there no other side?
Whatever happened to them, it was worse for Napoleon. So that's where Die Hard
Well,
comes
that's
from.
Pretty arcane, Richard.
Yes, it is. If you think that was arcane, wait till you hear this.
Do we get anything for that?
I mean, yes, give them 6 points for that, and that's enough. Try this one, Francine. Definition and derivation of dibs.
Dibs.
Dibs. Yeah. Well, dibs is to make known that something that you have first dibs on it, that you have first claim. It's about claim.
It is a claim. That's true.
As your children would say, I call shotgun.
Exactly.
Leaping for the
hoxie. Hoxie is when I hoxie.
Dibs on shotgun. Right.
Yes. Okay. Where it comes from, dibs.
That was the guy left standing in the battle.
That's right. Ernest Dibbs.
Ernest Dibbs.
I think
good old diehard Dibbs.
Is it a plural? is it a plural?
Dibbs is always a plural, yes.
No. Okay, so we need to know what a dib is.
A dib. Not really. Not really. Dibs. This is actually a shortened form of something.
Debutantes?
Debutantes.
Yeah.
Debutantes?
No.
Disturbing or dispersing?
Well, you know, you were right to think about your children claiming something.
Yes.
And that has a lot to do with the derivation.
Is this about estates?
I'm sorry?
Estates, succession, wills, things of that sort.
No. Oh, that was an interesting...
That's a good one, though.
Yeah.
Clever.
Source of most family problems.
Yeah, it's true. But this is about children. This has a lot to do with children. So where do you think it might come from?
Let's
ooh, it's quiet over there. I go to the other side.
Is that where the child rests? Is that some conveyance in which a child is placed?
No. Other side, do you have any thoughts?
Like 4 years in college.
Is it an acronym for something, or is...
No, it's not.
It's
audience,
a shortened
what do you
form
think?
Of a word. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is.
Distribution?
Does the scorekeeper have an idea?
Disturbing.
I'm sorry?
Disturbing.
Oh, no. Good guess. Disturbing. No, it is not.
So did you hear Carolyn say distribution?
No.
No.
Okay.
Any help from the audience?
Disbursement?
It is from an 18th century children's game.
Really?
It's called dibstones. And that's what most people think, that it comes from there. Some say it's from the Greek.
What most people?
Well,
dibstones.
Let's put it this way. That's what I think. Whenever we do this category, there are like 20 derivations for each one. So you go to the one that is most often mentioned.
Yes.
Which is the
at
most esoteric you can dig on.
Yes, and dibstones, the 18th century children's game, is the one that is most mentioned. But some say it's from the archaic verb dib, meaning to pat or tap. Do you know in a ceremony when you tap someone, you actually tap them on the shoulder and they step
out? I thought that was dubbing.
That was dub.
Dib is the archaic verb.
Dib is a poor man's knighting.
Are you going to tell us how to play dipstones?
I don't know how
if they
play
know
dipstones.
It, they're dead.
If anyone in the audience knows how to play dipstones, please send it in. We'll yes. mention it on the air. All right? Try this one, Paula. Definition and derivation of to put the kibosh on.
Oh, kibosh.
Well, to put the kibosh on is to say, no, none of that. Not going to allow that to happen.
That's
to stop it in its tracks.
Kibosh, I don't know. I always thought kibosh. It might be, you know, a Russian or a Hebrew
Is it from
word.
Another language?
Kibosh.
It is from
kibosh.
Another language.
That would make
is
sense.
It from either
It's,
of
you
those?
Know, it's those sisters, so, the Kiboshians.
So
you know, if you applaud that, you lower his expectations. You understand?
I like that, the kibosh here. So do we have to go to what kibosh means? Is that
well,
it?
You've already told us it is put a stopper and end
okay.
to something.
Okay, so what more do we need to know?
Well, your background should give you a little bit of help
It's
with
Gaelic.
Okay, put a kibosh on it. All right, kibosh. Already.
Yes, it's actually pronounced kibosh.
Kibosh.
Kibosh. Kibosh. And it means something. Do you have any idea what that is? It's C-I-E-B-A-I-S.
It probably means, you know, smack on the head or something
or lid?
Like that.
Ooh.
Whoa,
smack.
Very. It means cap. Cap of death.
Cap of death.
Cap of death. As formerly put on by a judge who used to pass a death sentence.
Really?
He would put on the kibosh.
He put the cap on the person who was going to die or
no,
he put it on himself?
No, he put the cap on himself.
And proclaim the death.
So you got the cap. Give them 7 points for that. That's pretty good.
Wow. And good,
nice job. And finally, Tony, definition and derivation of fifth column.
Oh, fifth column actually has a historic origin. It is a group that basically subverts the state or the organization from within.
It does.
The fifth column was the name for, I'm trying to remember what the dispute was. I remember when my Uncle Joe didn't, was it during the Spanish Civil War?
It was.
Yeah, okay. And that was a group, well, in the Spanish Civil War, there were so many different sides at the beginning that there were probably also a sixth column, a seventh column, an eighth column. But the fifth column were the people who were communists, who I think subverted the people who were pro-Franco.
You know what? I'm going to give them the 10
Good,
points
well
to Spanish Civil War. Nice job, baby. It was popularized by Hemingway, obviously, but there was a General Mola during the Spanish Civil War while besieging Madrid with an army of four columns of troops. He claimed he also had a fifth column in the shape of citizens of the city who were ready to rise up in his support. So that's where that comes from. 10 points. Excellent job. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from Fiddlers Too in the persons of Isabel Oliart and Ann Hooper. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Paula, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points up for grabs to Tony if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Paula, if he can't. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word zerts. X-E-R-T-Z.
Oh, God.
Zerts. Ladies? Says You Spring of Eternal Hope begins next month with a live performance in Portland, Maine. On Saturday, March 23rd, we'll bring a blizzard of beau mots to the Aronson Center at the University of Southern Maine.
Then in April, we trek to Vermont, where the hills will come alive once again with quips, questions, and quotes. On Saturday evening, April 21st, we'll be in the Green Mountain State for a live performance of the show. Tickets, information, and details are available, of course, at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou, where if you follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. So remember, Portland, Maine, March 23rd. Vermont, April 21st. It's Northern Tier Statements from Says You. Says You returns after this from home. Makes its sesquiannual return to Seattle, Washington, as part of this spring schedule of live performances. On June 22nd and 23rd, we'll become Soulcesters, as we once again invade Town Hall with special guests and musical surprises. Tickets, information, and details for these matinees are available, of course, at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. So come join us for Dueling Matinees, June 22nd and 23rd at Town Hall, Seattle. Live performances of Says You.
That is Fiddler's Tune. Miss Ann Hooper. And Miss Isabel Oliard, thank you very much, folks, for giving us a little time with the word zerts. We'll go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Zerts. I have two definitions.
Two.
The first is from spanking terminology. To use in a sentence, this zerts me more than it hurts you. The real definition of zerts comes to us from the world of roller derby. And to zerts is to collide with or otherwise rough up an opponent.
To rough up an opponent in roller derby. Give him the old zerts treatment.
Zerts till it hurts.
Could be that. Or it could be something else. What say you, Arnold?
I thought it meant to stay. Because if you went, you desserts or zerts. You take off the... No. Apparently, it has... I don't know. It must be some kind of slang term. It is a verb. And it means to dispose of an idea or object that you've been working on for a very long time.
To finally give up, eliminate, get rid of that thing that's been driving you nuts, is to zerts.
Right.
All right. It could be that. Or it could be something else. Paula?
I don't know. I guess it must just be sort of onomatopoeic because we get a lot of words for this. It's like to gulp, scarf, gobble, send something flying down your throat. That's all it is. It means just to swallow something very, very quickly. Zerts.
To swallow something quickly.
Zerts.
I should zerts a cough drop any minute now.
Yeah. There you go.
To swallow something very quickly. That could be zerts. It could also be to dispose of an idea you've been toying with forever. Or it could be to rough somebody up in roller derby. Three intriguing definitions.
Or a breath mint. Or a breath mint that never made it.
Yeah, that could be.
That had bad flavor.
I was just going to let that one play out, but no.
Licorice breath mint, yeah.
Licorice breath mint. Or to collide with somebody to rough them up in roller derby. Three very intriguing definitions. And, Tony, it's for you to sort out.
Intriguing indeed. I happen to know that it's actually the stage past chutzpah.
Boy, does he have zerts.
Well, if you tell a lady with a Pekingese you want to borrow the Pekingese to pull your tractor out of the mud, that's chutzpah. But if, when she objects, you say, don't worry, I've got a whip.
That's zerts.
That's zerts. Well, I think it's clear that whatever it is to zerts or be zerts, it's not good news. Collide. I love the collide in a roller derby.
Have you ever heard a Yiddish expression, which is, I'm going to give you a zutz?
A zetz.
A zetz?
A zetz.
Where I came from.
I'm going to give you such a zetz. It usually comes from the word such a.
Yes, such a.
Such a zetz.
Such a zetz.
Dispose of something, desserts, like to put the kibosh on something, to, what's that, that number that means the end of something, 30 or?
86.
Something.
Yeah. 86, okay, well, that's not desserts.
No.
I don't know, to swallow quickly is definitely has a Yiddish kind of tang to it, but I don't know how much Yiddish ends up in Richard's dictionaries. Zerts. So I'm kind of like, inclined to say collide.
I'm inclined. Also, this it feels like a noun, not a verb. It was a zerts.
Give him a zerts.
It was a collision.
Well, you know, I feel culturally deprived because my two Yiddish friends up here, they have a depth of knowledge of the language that I don't have. But in looking at the convincingness of the opposition over there, who are a great bunch of liars, I might say.
None of them is right.
I would say that probably the most credible on this would be Carolyn.
So we're going to go with credible. That's unusual, but I think we'll try.
You're going to go with credible.
We're going to go with credible this time.
So this is a new strategy. Credible is
very new, brand new. Okay.
Yes.
They're going to go with a new strategy, Carolyn. They're going to go with credible.
Credible.
That zerts means to rough somebody up in roller derby. Is that, in fact, what it means?
Card says, zerts, please fake a credible definition.
Oh. You did.
Zerts.
Oh, you have 10 points.
All right.
For Carolyn's team. All right, audience, it's your turn. What do you think?
Swallow.
All right, how many say to dispose of the idea? How many say to gulp down, swallow something? Well, Paula, this audience seems to think that to zerts is to swallow something whole. Is that, in fact, what it means?
Mm-hmm. Zerts, to gulp down something quickly.
It does. Oh. Very good. Nice job, audience.
That's our boy.
Zerts.
It hurts.
Let's take a moment and thank our scorekeepers for this game. Please thank Macy Maurer 11 and Benjamin Scherer. Thanks for keeping the score, you guys. Macy, keep an eye on him. He cheats. Let's go on to round three, a round of artful dodging. From the following ridiculous puns, clues, and references, please tell me the famous artist I have in mind. Ooh. An example, Miss Reed's steamy autobiography would be a Donatello. Donatello.
Oh, Donatello.
Woo! Was that a hiss that came from me? Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. You know what you're up against? Give it a shot.
Yeah.
Carolyn, mm-hmm. Artist brought to mind by the clue, McCartney, repeat.
McCarthy, repeat.
McCartney. Yes.
McCartney, repeat.
Repeat. I'm sorry. I'm a little hoarse.
McCartney, repeat. So Paul.
Oops. I heard it from the third and fourth rows in the audience.
McCartney, repeat.
Oh, Paul Gauguin.
Paul Gauguin.
Ah, very good.
Paul Gauguin.
Gauguin.
Good for you. Paul Go Again, right? Paul Go Again is that artist. And this is the absolute worst of the day, and you get it, Flash.
Oh, boy, that's great. I'm looking forward.
What's the art? Who is the artist brought to mind by the clue, very large glasses of champagne and orange juice?
Goblet?
Let's see.
Mimosa.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Mimosa, Spanish.
Okay, so something that's going to have the sound of mimosa in it.
Yeah.
I'm very thinking. Large glasses of champagne and orange juice. Glasses, mimosa. Got the mimosas.
Mimosa grande. Let's see. Who would that be?
Audience, don't say it out loud. Do you have it? Okay. Somebody has it out there. Very large glasses of champagne and orange juice. Boy, they got the hard one. They got the mimosa part.
That's that.
Other side, you want to help him out?
No.
No. No.
Not really.
Audience, who is it? Grand Mimosas. Grandma Moses.
Oh, brother.
Oh, wow.
Good for you.
That's very good, Richard.
Wow.
I bring them back after years and years, and what happens? Grand mimosas.
Oh,
God.
Grand mimosas.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, great. Right.
That's a good one.
Boy, there are some nasty ones in here now that I look at it. Here's another nasty one for you, Arnie. Artist brought to mind by the clue, put up preserves in glass.
Put up preserves in glass. Jam, jelly.
James Mason, yes.
Can.
James Mason.
No. Jar.
Cannellino.
Cannelletti, no. Jar.
Put up preserves. I mean, no, is there.
Put up preserves.
Put up, glass, it's to can, yeah. Isn't it? So is
can? No, in glass.
No, in glass.
Well,
but
still,
to put up preserves to.
Glass, well, what did. Jar. What,
To put up preserves in glass
jelly.
To bottle or to...
Botticelli.
Botticelli.
Bottled jelly.
Is right.
Yes.
Yeah. To put up preserves in glass is to bottle jelly. Yes, Botticelli. Try this one, Francine. Artist brought to mind by the clue, non-com stoolie.
Non-com.
What?
Non-com stoolie. NON-COM stoolie. STOOLIE.
As in rat?
Yes.
Or
a
rat.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
As in stool pigeon?
Yep.
Non-com. Non-communicative?
Oh.
No, non-com, like an officer.
Yeah. Officer.
Oh, non-commissioned officer.
Yeah, yeah.
Captain Pigeon. Lieutenant Pigeon.
Sergeant. John Singer Sergeant.
John Singer Sergeant. That's exactly right. Singer Sergeant.
Singer Sergeant. Oh. Yeah. I was going to Sergeant.
Well done.
A stoolie, of course, is a singer, and a non-com stoolie is a singer sergeant.
Well done.
Very good. Boy, they're puzzled out there in the audience.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. You got Grandma Moses. You're fine.
Helps to have a military man in the group.
I was going to say, after Grandma Moses, everything else is going to be, you know.
Right.
Try this one, Paula. Artist brought to mind by the clue, what the vicious cat did to bystanders.
What the vicious cat
did to bystanders.
What?
A gentleman just had a
Pissarro.
Seizure.
Claude Monet. Claude Monet
is right.
Oh.
Exactly. What
very
the vicious
good.
Cat did
vicious
to bystanders,
cat.
He clawed
Claude Monet.
Claude Monet. Claude Monet. And here's the worst one of them all.
Tintoretto.
You know, I should have tried Tintoretto, but I didn't do it.
All right.
I tried Titian, and that didn't work either. This is just horrifying. The artist brought to mind by the clue, chocolate, coconut, ham, cheese, and sauerkraut confections.
cheese and sauerkraut.
Ham, cheese, and sauerkraut confections?
Confections.
Yep. Well, we know that.
Sounds like a Cuban sandwich with desserts added. Chocolate, coconut, ham, cheese.
And sauerkraut confections.
And sauerkraut confections.
Oh, yes!
You got it over there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe it. He actually got it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Got it.
Yeah. They got it. Isn't that
well, it's humiliating.
Rubens.
I'll enjoy it.
Rubens.
Oh, Rubens.
Paul Rubens.
Yeah,
Peter Paul.
Paul. Peter Paul Rubens.
Peter Paul Rubens.
Exactly
Paul
right.
Rubens.
Peter Paul. Oh, I'm enjoying
it. Yes.
Okay.
Chocolate and coconut is, of course, Peter Paul Mounds.
Thank you.
Chocolate, coconut, ham, cheese, and sauerkraut is a Reuben. Peter Paul Rubens is the answer to that one. And that puts an end to this round of Artful Dodging. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Did you invent that category, Richard?
Yes, of course.
Very well done.
Well, thank you.
Very clever.
You know, I work hard at these. I really
do. I know.
Let's go on to round four, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Paula, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word jollop.
Jollop.
J-O-L-L-U-P.
Do a jollop.
Jollop. Ladies? So many ways to enjoy, says you. You can listen here each week, as we hope you do. You can attend a live performance or download any show in our archive. You can contribute a question to the show and achieve limited fame with a small but dedicated audience. And now there's the book, Says Us, Volumes 1 and 2, a tome of games for family and fellow travelers. All this and more at SaysYou.net. SaysYou. Briefly, Says You pauses, just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back. You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at SaysYou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high quality copies available. Miss Ann Hooper. And Miss Isabel Oleart. Thank you very much, ladies. That was great. We've had a few moments with the word jollop. We will go first to a sly-looking Flash Wiley.
Perhaps I look so sly about this is because I know this word. I remember this word from my grandmother. She, you know, she had these old wives' tales and everything, and she told me one time about a remedy that the old folks used to use for constipation.
How interesting.
And basically what they do is they give you a amount of liquor so very strong that it acted as a laxative. So, you know, whenever you... In my family, if you felt like you needed a hit, you say, you know, hey, I've had a little trouble going to the bathroom, and there it'd be.
A jollop.
A jollop.
Jollop.
You take a jollop, and your problems go away, pretty much.
Exactly.
Well, it could be that, could be something else. What say you, Francine?
Jollop is actually not an old family remedy in my household. It was a... It's the lead groom in a fox hunt. It is the person who goes out front with the brace of dogs and leads off the fox hunt.
The lead groom, the first guy out, is the jollop.
With the dogs.
Followed by the gallop. Followed by the...
The gallop comes later.
Okay, the gallop comes later. The first guy out in a fox hunt is the jollop. Chasing those dogs. It could be that. Or it could be something else. Here comes trouble.
I'm going to go with slashes. I don't know. There's just something about it.
Yeah, I understand.
Off and running, you know, whatever. Off and running. It has a certain kind of irresistible forward momentum. Well, actually, it does. Have you ever noticed how nobody ever falls off an elephant?
And we were remarking about that.
All the time.
Right. Well, it's not because of, a potato knish to sit in, or a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to sit in, or even elephant ear wax. It is a jollop. A jollop is a saddle for an elephant.
A saddle for an elephant is a jollop. Sitting astride the jollop...
Just sitting on it is enough. Forget about the astride business.
A jollop is a saddle for an elephant. Sounds very logical. But then again, so did the lead groom in a fox hunt, and so did the old family recipe, the liquor laxative. It could be one of those. It is one of those three, actually. And Paula, it's your choice.
Well, what fun.
It's all three of them, actually.
It is.
When you're, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Off and running with a good shot.
Yeah.
Off and riding.
Off and riding.
Off and riding
and
leading
sitting.
The rest.
Yeah. So you've got three of them.
And sitting securely. We were saying that jollop does sort of sound like it could be Indian, but since we know Tony's going to India and he's probably studying India and boning up on India.
Good Lord.
I know. This is what it's come to. These are the things we have to take into consideration.
Well, if you go that route, you go Francine
knows
rides horses and Flash goes to the bathroom. So where are we?
You've got a good point.
That doesn't really help us.
Yeah.
So do we have any votes here? Teammates.
Lead groom in a fox hunt. Right, doesn't the groom take care of the... I mean, why would someone need a groom in a fox hunt?
To hold the bridle.
Okay, so
ladies and gentlemen, I think you deserve
misgivings about that one.
Yeah. Anything? I'd like to go for the elephant saddle.
Elephant saddle, Arnie?
I'm liking that it should be an elephant saddle. I think sounds like that's what you sit in.
Vamanos. Ah. Elephant saddle, Tony.
Well, they have come to the conclusion, Tony, that the jollop is the elephant saddle.
I love the process of deduction that led them.
Yes.
First for me to India and therefore not to consider it, and then back because it's an elephant.
Right.
All right. No. Well, jollop, please make up a definition.
Hey!
You did.
We did it. We would like to go with it. Yeah.
That's 10 points for your team. All right, audience, your turn. What do you think?
Fox on. Laxative.
Well, the Fox on jumped out to an early lead, and then...
How many say
the Fox on? How many say the liquor laxative? No, the Fox on. Well, I think by that reaction, the Fox Hunt is winning out, Francine. Is that, in fact, what jollop means?
Please fake a definition.
It is a laxative. Way to go, Flash.
Yeah, way to go.
Wow.
Because the definition actually reads...
An amount of liquor so strong as to be useful as a laxative.
That's what it is. 10 points. For Johnny's team.
That's amazing.
I won't forget that one.
I can just see it now. You know, prescription. Take a Zerts of Jollop and don't call me in the morning.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, I'm not going to forget that one.
Nope.
And don't go rollerblading either.
Yeah. Nice job, Flash.
Way to go, Flash.
Let's close tonight. Arguably one of the 21st century's premier art forms is stand-up comedy. We salute some of the greats today with a comedic round of Says Who. Using the clues provided, please tell me the stand-up standout who offered the following. Carolyn, when told not to worry that his laundry detergent could get out bloodstains, this social commentator offered, if you've got a T-shirt with bloodstains all over it, maybe laundry isn't your biggest problem.
Richard Pryor?
It was not. Okay. No.
This social commentator.
Social commentator. Just
social commentator.
Social observer.
Social observer.
Well, it was
so
not
Will
Lincoln.
Rogers? Or?
No, this is modern stand-up.
Modern
stand-up.
Is this Seinfeld?
It is Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
Nice job. Jerry Seinfeld. It's a great one. Try this one, Flash. When he told his psychiatrist that everyone hated him, the doctor replied, nonsense. You haven't met everyone yet.
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen.
No, it's not.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Rodney Dangerfield is exactly right.
Yeah.
All right. This one I loved. This is a tough one, Arnie, but I loved it. When asked to comment on violence in the media, this urbane 60s host said, there's so much comedy on television, does that cause comedy on the streets?
Sounds like Jack Parr?
It is not, and I knew you'd go there. I'm so sorry.
Oh.
Is it...
I'll give you one more shot at it. That's,
Johnny Carson.
I led you a little...
Steve Allen?
No, not Steve Allen.
Those are the two urbane ones.
The Smothers Brothers?
No, there's one more urbane 60s TV host that I can
think of.
Johnny Carson.
Dick Cavett?
Oh, she's yelled it
came
over there.
From the other side. Dick Cavett. I don't know how to handle that.
I don't either.
And it's a close game, too.
It was a zert.
Yeah. You got an extra?
Well, I do have an extra. It's not exactly a stand-up comic. But I'll give you the 10 points. I wrote this down because I just loved it.
What is it? The Wichita Lineman?
See if you can get this, and if so, I'll give you the 10 points.
A bloody T-shirt.
At a testimonial, it's not necessarily a comic. At a testimonial, he rose to acknowledge the honor, saying, before I start speaking, I'd like to say something.
Before I start speaking.
And he's not really a comic.
No.
Is it a president?
No, but that's a good one.
Yogi Berra?
How is he known?
It's Yogi Berra.
Yogi Berra,
It is exactly. You know what? 10 points. Give him the 10
points. That's right.
All right. Try this one, Francine. The first stand-up routine on Saturday Night Live contained his observation that the main reason Santa is so jolly is because he knows where all the bad girls live.
Yeah, that sounds like that.
Oh, boy, early True. Saturday Night Live.
Yeah,
so
first that
would be Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray.
But did they do stand-ups?
I don't think he was on the very first
one. No, do you know this one, Other Side?
We got a guess.
So. Okay.
We have a guess.
Not Chevy Chase.
This was right in the beginning. First show, I think. Yeah. Very first show.
Were the Coneheads on?
Oh, not the Coneheads.
No,
no. We're like
the first,
two,
who
three
was the
years
first,
after.
Was it the host? The host of that show?
Actually, I believe he did host that show.
Who would have been big back then? My God. Jack Benny.
No.
Would you tell us what year? What are we, about 70?
1975. Yeah. Premiered in 75.
So it wasn't Johnny Carson.
Mm-hmm. No. Nor he wouldn't have done stand-up on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The main reason Santa is so jolly is because he knows where all the bad girls live. I love it. Oh, I don't think they're going to get this one.
I don't think so.
Give it to Paula.
A little bit of silence. Paula, you want to take a shot?
Well, my guess is George Carlin.
Your guess is correct.
Ah.
Of course.
That's
a
good one.
Try this one, Paula. I'll give you the hard one. Her biological reflections while at the switchboard prompted this comment on success. I always wanted to be somebody, but now I see I should have been more specific.
Oh, that was Goldie Hawn, wasn't it? Or was it Lily Tomlin?
No.
It was Lily Tomlin.
Tomlin.
8 points.
Ernestine.
8 points for a second guess. All right, Other Side, here's your best shot at it. Try this one, Tony. This generally apolitical host commented, the reason there are two senators from each state is so one can be the designated driver.
Usually apolitical. Who is a really apolitical stand-up comic?
Jay Leno.
Jay Leno is correct.
Jay Leno.
There you go.
Good.
10 points. Jay Leno is correct. That was a great close. You know what? Because of the Yogi Berra question and all that, and because I didn't know that you were going to get the Dick Cavett question, that means that this week you closed hard, and it was just the right thing to do, because this week's contest ends in an 81-81 tie. Congratulations to both teams. Yeah.
You can see how much weight the scoring carries.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Stephen Hall and all the good folks here at Regis College who made this a wonderful weekend. Sharon Salkin write the words. Antonio Oliart watches the wires. And Zach Moore could use a good night's sleep. Once every few weeks, we remind you that this show is best when we get your questions, when we get your comments, and most of all, when you show up. Thank you, Boston, for showing up. See you next week.
Support for CEJU in Weston, Massachusetts comes from Regis College. Graduate and undergraduate programs in the arts and sciences. On the web at regiscollege.edu. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says you. Created and produced by Pippin and Finch. Boston.
For a lot of fans, reggae is about party time. But for Jimmy Cliff and his fellow reggae pioneers, the music was about personal expression.
Everyone put it in their own way because they wanted to identify it as Jamaican music. They say, you see, listen to that. That's me. That's us.
Jimmy Cliff is our own personal reggae guide this week on Sound Opinions.
Sunday evenings at 7.
Sperm. There are millions and millions and millions.
The minimum that you can have to have a normal is 40 million.
40 million? So that's the ordinary hello.
Yeah.
That's an awful lot of souls if they're all potential human beings
just dying.
Well, all but one.
Sperm.
What's actually in those little guys?
And why do you need so many of them?
On the next Radio Lab.
Sunday nights at 8 o'clock.
This is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.